the days are of thy trials, of famine and darkness and souls.
enter into the temple.
give thanks to the Ancient of Days, to honor Him for His mercies unto us. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Shout, holy people, how excellent is Thy name, praise His name. For His mercies are to us. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. We give You thanks. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. We give You thanks tonight, Lord. For all the good things You've done to us, Lord, to the Ancient of Days. How You guide us daily, Lord, give thanks to the Ancient of Days. For Your grace You give to us, Lord, give thanks to the Ancient of Days.
Come, give thanks to the Ancient of Days. When people are voting out there, we've already made our vote. The prophet says, the Lord voted for us, the devil voted against us. It's up to us to make our choice. And I'm really glad that we made our choice, that we voted for the right camp. Let's open Ephesians 6, Saints, this evening. We do greet you in Jesus' name. Let's read from verse 10 down to 13. Just want to speak this evening about the believer's authority in Christ. Just a little bit about authority. Just want to have a look at three things. We want to have a look at the truth. We want to have a look at what holds us back from really the full realization of that truth. And then thirdly, look at what is the remedy? What is the cure? Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Father, blessed scriptures these are. Father, how we know the truth of these things, Lord. How sweet it is to read of it, how sweet it is to experience it, Lord. And Father, we just want that to be the testimony of our lives. So may You bless this word to us this night. Bless Your people that have gathered in this place. Would You pray for Brother Maxwell with his car, that You would help. Lord, let all things be put in order. Pray for Brother John and Sister Eva as they move house. Bless upon this night, we'd ask and pray. And Father, the rest of Your people, Brother Brian, Lord, You pray for him and for Sister Deirdre going to America. Bless them while they're there. Give them a blessed time, Lord, we'd pray. But Father, we're waiting upon You now. We've come into this place, a lot of activity out there. Father, a lot of worldly things, politics, Lord, the realm of, Father, powers and principalities, Lord. But we've come into this place because we just want to submit ourselves to Your jurisdiction, to give ourselves, Lord, into Your hands, that You may have the preeminence upon this night. Bless us as we wait upon You. Father, we just want to glorify Your name. We just want to sit at Your feet. We just want to have communion, Lord, upon this night, around Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. I'm just going to read a couple of quotes that the prophet speaks. I really enjoyed these quotes very much. When the prophet, the first one is from the Message Kinsman Redeemer. And he said this in 1960. And if you think of what he's preaching about our great Kinsman Redeemer. So he's preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, showing how the great God, the great Word became flesh. Because He alone was able to redeem. He alone was able to pay the price. But He had to be made like unto His brethren. So The word had to be made flesh and dwell amongst us, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he went through. But the prophet then in paragraph 168, he says, now, sons and daughters. So he's speaking about the sons and daughters of God. He says, who has the most power before God? What is an angel? An angel is a servant. So when we think of the devil, Lucifer, no matter how much he can try to make himself something, and he thought he was so beautiful and so perfect in his own eyes, and no matter how much he was made in perfection in the beginning, no matter how anointed he was, no matter that he overshadowed the throne, no matter what the Bible speaks about the devil, there's still one truth about the devil: he's an angel. And an angel is a servant of God. But the prophet goes on to say, angels are his servants. But what are you? You are his sons and his daughters. So who has more favor? Angels or sons of God? Servants or sons of God? That's what the prophet's saying. Who has more authority in the kingdom? The sons or the servants? So no matter what the devil may try to make himself, the truth of it is, if you're born again tonight as a son or daughter of God, you have far more authority than the devil. Straight up, just because of your birth, just because of who you are in your relationship with Christ, because you are a son or your daughter of God, you have far more authority than a servant. It's like that in life. And I mean, no matter how great a servant, the greatest servant in the palace has no authority like the prince, who's the son of the king. So if you and I are born again tonight, we have far more authority than the devil. That's what he's going to say. He says, a sinner that's been saved by grace, who has the most power? A sinner saved by grace or an archangel that's standing by his right-hand side? So imagine he's saying an archangel standing at the right hand of the throne of grace. He says, who has more power tonight? A sinner who's saved by grace tonight or that archangel overshadowing the throne of God? He says a sinner saved by grace. So how much more a sinner saved by grace? If you have more power than an archangel in his position, how much more power then do you have over an angel who was cast out of heaven, who was stripped of his power and his glory, stripped of the weapons of his warfare at the cross? How much more power do you have than the devil has tonight? You have so much more power. In heavenly places, a believer has far more power than the greatest of all of the angels that was created, which was Lucifer, which was the devil, but now he's a fallen angel. So he's no longer standing in the presence of God. He only comes to accuse. We know that. So the prophet goes on to say, the sinner that has been saved by grace has more authority in heaven than the archangel that stood by his side without sin. Because he's a son. A son has more authority than the servant, of course. So it's good just to remind the devil that he's a servant. That he just does the Lord's bidding. That's what it says. What are angels? Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister, to serve them that are heirs of salvation. And I think it's really good to remember that sense, because Hollywood makes the devil into some big guy. Hollywood, with all of its horror movies and its Frankenstein and all of the things that's played with the minds of the people, that was the devil conditioning people through The Exorcist and all these kind of films to think of the spiritual realm in this way, that, oh, it's such a scary thing. Yes, if you're not a son or a daughter of God, or if you're living in disobedience or you're in sin, it is a scary realm. The prophecy is you don't want to play with the devil then. You'll end up like the sons of Sceva. They'll end up tearing off your clothes, beating you up, and you'll go out of that place naked. But to a son or daughter of God, who are in their position, no matter how humble that position is, that you are anointed and you placed as a son or a daughter of God by birth, you have far more authority than the devil does tonight. You can command the devil and he has to listen. That's what Jesus said in the Bible. Now the prophet, he gets to the point and he says, oh, we forget what we are. You see, the devil wants us to forget what we are. The greatest fear the devil has is that we'll realize who we are. So the prophet says, we forget what we are. And we forget many times what made us what we are. What made us what we are? We forget that we were in the devil's hands. We were in the devil's kingdom. We were under the power of darkness. We were deceived. We were children of disobedience, but then God, who was rich in mercy, redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. God came down and shed His own blood as the purchase price of our redemption. So the prophet says, don't forget what made you what you are. For you to be a son and daughter of God today, washed in the blood of the Lamb, no longer a citizen of the kingdom of darkness, but rather a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, don't forget what made you that. It was the grace of God. It was God's predestined plan, because we are His sons and daughters. Now the devil doesn't want us to realize that. The devil rather wants us to dwell upon Him and His kingdom, rather than realizing who we are in reality in heavenly places in Christ Jesus today. So the prophet says that we forget many times what made us what we are. After we become what we are, then we forget how we got there. God Himself, he says. So it's God Himself who came to us. It's God Himself who redeemed us. It's God Himself who called us. It's God Himself who has put us in the positions that we are as believers tonight. Therefore, if God has put us there, we have authority from God. And the authority we have from God is far greater than all the authority that the devil has. We have the real authority. We sing the song, we've got the power. Power is authority. The prophet says that policeman standing there, skinny little man with his cap over his ears. He says he doesn't have power to stop the car, but he has authority to stop the car. Because of who he is, he has authority. And now the devil knows we have the authority. But he's going to do the utmost that he can. He's going to do everything that he can with what powers he still has to try to get us away from realizing that authority. That's his whole game that he plays with us. He plays a game of deception. He plays a game of fear. He plays a game of oppression. He plays upon our ignorance. The Lord said in the Bible, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what it is. But the real truth of the Bible tonight is, you have more authority than all the hosts of hell. There's no power or principality that has more authority than you tonight. And you can put it to the test. Whatever the devil's doing in your life, you rise up in your authority and you challenge that thing. And you stand your ground. It has to obey you. That it has to obey you because you have the authority as a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, if you're not a son and daughter of God, we're not speaking about you tonight. We're speaking of the believer's authority in Christ. This authority we've received as sons and daughters of God, it's authority because of the finished work of Christ. That's the basis of our authority, is that we've been redeemed. That Christ on the cross perfectly redeemed us. When he said it is finished, it was finished. He paid for every sin, past, present, and future that you'll ever commit. It's already been forgiven us. All we have to do is receive our pardon. And the basis of our authority is our right standing with God now. As sons and daughters of God, Lucifer, the closest he got to the throne was to overshadow the throne. But we are seated with him in his throne. That's what the Bible says, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne as I also overcame and am seated in my Father's throne. So we can go to a far greater place, a far more authoritative place than the devil could ever get to. He did have authority before he was cast out. Even when he's cast out as a fallen angel, he still has his gifts. He can still do the things that he does, but he doesn't have power over a believer. He has power over the world. He's the God of this evil age. He's the prince of the power of the air. He can command people, he can afflict people, he can do those things. But to a believer, since that day on Calvary, Satan lost his authority over you. And the only authority he's got over you is the authority that you're giving him over you. That's the truth. Because of the power of deception, Satan has taken authority over us, but he has no legal authority over us. It's just the authority that we're giving to him because of our ignorance. Because of our unbelief, we give him something to take authority over us. But in reality, according to the word, he has no scriptural authority over us. We don't belong to him. We've been redeemed. We've been purchased, not with corruptible silver and gold, But the full purchase price of redemption has already been paid. And your redeemed soul is proof of that. Because Satan has no access to your soul. If you're born again, if you're sealed with the Holy Ghost, you're sealed to the day of your redemption. He can try to afflict you in your body, try to play with your mind, the realm of the spirit, but he cannot touch the soul of a believer because you're already redeemed in your soul. That is no longer jurisdiction he can touch. So when he comes into the other realms as well, he's an opportunist. He's taken opportunity. He doesn't have authority to be in your mind. He doesn't have authority, legal rights, to be in your body. It said, we give him the chance. He's a squatter, the prophet says. He comes and he takes whatever he can take. And if we keep giving it to him and we're scared of him and we allow him to do it, he's going to take more and more and more. But he can never take your soul. Because your soul is sealed away in the kingdom of God. Your soul is redeemed. And he knows that. The devil knows it even more than we know that. And his whole work, all the spiritual warfare that goes on, is for one purpose. He's trying to stop us from realizing what we are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a believer really is in Christ. That's what he's trying to stop us from doing. The prophet says in Questions and Answers on Hebrews 1957, paragraph 631, he says, which has the greatest authority? An angel from heaven or an angel at the pulpit? Because an angel is a messenger. He says, which has? He says, the angel at the pulpit. Because Paul said, if an angel from heaven comes and preaches any other gospel than what we have preached to you, let him be cursed. Amen. Let him be cursed. Amen. So the angel in the pulpit, if you are in your position as a believer and your calling, you have more authority than all the angels in heaven. You have far more authority. Angels are servants sent to minister to you. You weren't sent to minister to the angels. They were sent to minister to you. So although we've been made a little lower than the angels, we've been clothed in humanity, but inside of our souls, by redemption, by predestination, we have far more authority than the angels. The angels won't dwell in the city. They'll have to dwell around the city, in those heavenly realms around the city, but they can't dwell in the future home. That's reserved for the sons and daughters of God. But the angels, the prophet says, they servants. So the angel anointed with the Holy Spirit, the prophet says, and with the word. So if you are anointed with the Holy Spirit and you have the revelation of the word, the prophet says you stand next to God. The devil is outside of that realm. You can stand next to God. If you're anointed and you have the word, the devil can't come onto that ground. You have far greater access, far greater authority, far greater power, far greater privilege than even the greatest of all the angels. Because you are son or daughter of God. You've been anointed, you've been placed in your position as a believer, and you have the authority. But the devil's not going to let you accept that very easily. He's not going to let you come to that full realization, knowledge without a fight. There's going to be warfare in heavenly places to try to keep you back from the full realization of that truth. That's why the prophet says that in future home, we spoke of it the other day when he says, both the heavens and the earth now is contaminated with devils that can accuse us before God. So between us and heavenly places, there's a realm which is contaminated by devils. And that's why for us to rise up into heavenly places, to stay in that place of a full realization of who we are in Christ, to stay in that place where we have that like quickening which gives us the authority, we're going to have to continually fight spiritual warfare. Because between us and that realm, there's this realm of spiritual warfare. It's contaminated with these spiritual forces that don't want you to rise up there. The greatest fear they have is for a believer to rise up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. To realize who you are in Christ. To realize who they are. To realize that at the cross, like the Bible says, Satan has been stripped of all his power and his authority at the cross. He has no authority anymore over a believer. But we've got to rise up through the spiritual warfare. through this realm, this dimension which tries to hold us down and oppress us and weigh us down to keep us from rising up to that place where the promises are real to us. Where we are in that position and we know who we are and what we are sent here for, like the Bible says. That's where the battle comes in. And if we're not wise, we're not persistent, if we don't be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, like Paul was telling us, friends, no matter how much potentially we have the authority, no matter how much we are the sons and daughters of God, the devil's going to take a lot of advantage of us. He's going to come and do a lot of things, and he's going to come and try to, you know, take advantage of the fact that we're not taking advantage of what it is that we are in Christ. That's why the prophet says there's these demons that accuse us before God. That's why there's all this like guilt that wants to come on you, and there's all these thoughts that come against you. The moment someone starts speaking about your authority, then you start thinking about this and that. No, I didn't pray enough this last week. I didn't fast enough this last week. You know, I did this, and I know in my home it's not the best way that it's. That's got nothing to do with it. It's what Christ made you. It's not what you made yourself. You didn't call yourself. Christ called you. You didn't redeem yourself. Christ redeemed you because He chose you. And that's the thing to realize, is that it's Christ. This covenant is made with Christ, our representative. He is the one that has redeemed us, paid the full price. It's not depending on us that we have to become some big something. Now we are the sons of God, the Bible says. Now we are the sons of God. And as sons and daughters of God, we have this authority. Now the prophet goes on to speak about where the problem comes in. And he says, this is from demonology. He says, I'm writing a book. And he says, demonology. He says, my personal contact with demons. Now friends, think back in your life at your personal contact with demons. It'll give you a lot of power. If you just go and think back. I think back when I was just maybe a month as a Christian. And I woke up the one morning. It wasn't one of those dreams you have when you can't wake up. But there was literally something on top of me in my bed. Something that had its hand over my mouth. And I was awake. And I felt this thing. And there was a fear that came over me. And then something came from within and said, rebuke it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment I just in my soul said, Jesus, that thing was gone in an instant. And there was a perfect peace. And I told my brother who was sleeping in the bed next to me, and he was so scared. And I said, but what's there to be scared about? But you think in your life. Think of it. Think of the times you've been oppressed and weighed down, and you didn't even feel like you wanted to pray. And you shut yourself in the closet, and you started to wrestle in prayer. And then you broke through. And that power, that oppressive power, its power was broken. And you were in heavenly places. And you came from that place of prayer, completely different in the way that you went in. What is that? That's your experiences with demons. That's your experience with the demon powers. The times that sickness afflicted you and you couldn't seem to get rid of it. And then God's grace came in and something broke in on your soul and there was a certain faith. And there was a deliverance that came from that sickness. That's your experience with demon powers. And if you just think back to the multitudes of times that you've done exactly what the Bible says, you've resisted the devil, what happened? Every time he flees from you. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. When you just stand your ground like David did against Goliath, you don't care about his big boasts. You don't care about all the claims that he's making. But you stand in your position. Have you ever failed to overcome him? That's only when you give him too early. When you submit yourself, when you give him authority that he doesn't legally have. But every time you've stood your ground in Christ, you've overcome him. Because you have the authority over him. That power and authority has been given into the hands of the sons and daughters of God. You can bind him, you can loose him, like the prophet was told. There are conditions, yes. You've got to be sincere. You've got to be consecrated. That's why sometimes it needs fasting and prayer. to break through that spiritual realm, this heaviness that wants to oppress you, to break through into heavenly places where you can appropriate the promises once again and say, no, no, this belongs to me. This is the devil lying to me. But you got to resist the devil. I was saying it, we had somebody visiting us last night, one brother from Northern Ireland, and I said it to him, I said, brother, no, you can live all your life a defeated life if you want. But if I were you, what I would do is I'd shut myself in my closet and I would start to wrestle. I said, whenever I find myself oppressed or depressed, what seems the promises of God are not real, or you try to read the word and it's like you can't seem to get into the spirit of revelation of the word, that's spiritual warfare. You need to discern. That's the devil trying to hold you back from the good things of God. And what does the Bible say? If any is afflicted, let him pray. Amen. That's when you go to pray. But you don't just go with that, oh Lord, I'm not feeling good. So you don't go like that. You go with your loins girded up. You go and you take out the sword and you put up the shield. And you engage in spiritual warfare. Amen. And you resist the devil. And you rebuke the devil. And you stand against him. And you take your authority. And at first there'll be a resistance and your mind will say this and that and there'll be a heaviness. But it's going to have to happen. Hallelujah. He's going to flee from you because the Bible says resist him and he will flee from you. Amen. And he'll do it every time that you stand in your position. And any believer who's been any amount of time in the Lord knows that by experience. But sometimes we go for great lengths of time, like we were saying on Sunday, the devil will be beating us down and oppressing us. But the most effective thing about the devil, he does all these things to us, and most of the time we don't even recognize it was the devil. It's very subtle. It's the wiles of the enemy. That's why you've got to recognize anything that hinders you from rising up into your position, anything that hinders you in your calling as a believer, it's the devil. No matter what form it comes, it may come in the most innocent looking form, but you'll know it by its fruits. You'll know it by the motive and objective of what it's trying to do to you. It's trying to hold you back from progression in your spiritual life. It's trying to hold you back from rising up and moving beyond the condition that you're in. And you'll know that's the devil. No matter if it comes in the form of work, if it comes in the form of problems with your car, if it comes in the form of sickness in your body, whatever it is, it's the devil. Amen. That's the power behind that. But he's using those things, and you'll know it by the effects that it has. That is hindering you in your spiritual life. Yes. And friends, I was saying it to that brother, saying, I think saints, many saints forget the real important principle of wrestling in prayer. Because Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's why he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now you've got to wrestle. You've got to get serious in prayer. Not feeling sorry for yourself, but you've got to get there and start rebuking those circumstances, that darkness, that spiritual realm, that's standing between you and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't take long, saints, as a believer, that you break through once again. The prophet says, then you have elbow room once again. Then your mind is clear. Then you've got spiritual focus once again. Then the spiritual confusion has gone. The oppression has gone. The depression has gone. The nervousness has gone. All of those things are symptoms of spiritual oppression and powers that are trying to work inside of your life. I'll show you what the prophet says. He says here, he says, friends, they're just as real as you are real. When he's speaking of demons, I've seen them many times when they leave right, he's saying from the pulpit. He says, I've seen them leave right from this platform here. In the way that he'd break into that realm, he says, some of them are in shape of bats, look like long hairs hanging on their legs. But an epileptic demon looks like a tortoise with round legs. That's the form that he had seen in that realm. He says, but usually a demon of oppression seems to be more like a cloud form or a wave. That cloud of darkness that descends over your life, that descends over your home. Don't listen to psychologists. Don't listen to those books. Listen to the Bible and listen to the message. It's a demon of oppression. And you've got to take authority over that demon. You've got to come to the time that you say, this demon has to leave. I'm claiming my rights. I'm standing my ground. Even if I die here, I'm not moving from this place. This demon must go. And it doesn't take long that it goes. And then you wonder, but why did I baby that thing for so long? Why did I allow that thing to do that for me for such a long time? Then you should determine yourself, next time I'm not going to give it that kind of an occasion. Not give it that kind of a welcome inside of my life. The prophet says in the message, why am I praying for the sick? He says, now I want you to believe. He comes to the time of praying for the sick. He says, every person in the building is healed. Jesus Christ did it 1900 years ago. You're here to accept it. The only thing that keeps you from having it is that little thought of that doubt. So I'm going to rebuke that. Then he says, Lord God, I condemn that demon of doubt that's hanging over this audience. So what was holding the people back from the blessings in heavenly places is that dark cloud of doubt. That's something that comes and tells you this, that, and the other and makes you reason against all the promises of God. You've got to realize that's the devil. That's the devil speaking to you. And you know the best remedy for the devil speaking to you? Let God go speaking to you. That's how you overcome the devil speaking to you. Get yourself in prayer, then get yourself in the Word. Feed your faith. Let God go speaking to you, and you'll overcome the devil speaking to you. He says it again in the message. I'll tell you the name of this message here. It's in The Living Jesus Christ, 1953. He says, just remain with your heads bowed. Everybody praying, no matter what's wrong with you. Keep your eyes closed. He says, just imagine what Jesus is doing now. He says, right now the Holy Spirit is wooing over you. His mercies and His power coming into your body right now, making you well. The angels of God are hovering over you. So God's doing everything He can in that realm for the believer. He says, now that demon of unbelief is the only thing that's keeping you from being healed. So you can see that's the warfare. This spirit, God's got the full resource there. That there's this darkness in this realm that wants to keep us from accessing that realm that God has opened up to us by His grace. So what do we need to do? We need to recognize it's the devil. We need to recognize this unbelief, this doubt, this fear. It's the devil. I've given room to the devil. I'm fellowshipping with a demon here. And you need to wage warfare against that demon. You don't need to worry about anything else. Get to the source of the problem. The source of the problem is there's a power and a principality in heavenly places that is making war against you. That's trying to hold you back from rising up to that place where there's angelic beings, where the Holy Ghost is trying to persuade you of the promises. You've got to cast him out first. And then that channel opens up to you. And then that realm is real and the promises are real. And then you can receive the benefits and the blessings from heavenly places. But the devil's job is to try to stop you from getting there. And that's why he fights so much in that realm that he fights in. So that's what the prophet says, keeps us from it. And friends, it's the devil's job to do it. That's his whole aim, his whole objective, is to keep the saints from the inheritance. He's done it right from the first Exodus. He put the Hittites and the Hivites and the Amorites and the Jebusites right in the inheritance of the sons and daughters of God. So when they came there, Joshua, Caleb, and the children of Israel, the devil was in the inheritance. For them to take the inheritance, they had to fight for the inheritance. They couldn't just walk into the inheritance. There was a resistance. There was something standing between them and the inheritance. And they had to put on the whole armor. They had to go with that anointing of the promises of God. They had to take their swords. They had to wage warfare against those powers that were in the inheritance. Then they possessed their land. The promise was given to them, but they had to fight. They had to put their feet down one step at a time. Because footsteps means possession, the prophet says. And Caleb said, give me my mountain. But the devil was in his mountain. So he went and he fought for his mountain. He says, God has promised it to me, therefore I'm going to go and take my mountain. And that's what you've got to do as believers. You've got to recognize this devil in your inheritance. You've got to recognize this resistance, this power, this oppression. It's standing between you and the good things of God. Therefore, no matter what you want to look back in your genealogy, no matter how much you want to say, I've inherited this from my father, my mother, whatever, that's secondary things. The devil takes advantage. It's a spiritual warfare. The devil is just using those things. And if he can disguise himself and you just start looking at your genetics and you look at what you inherited and things like that, the devil's got you defeated. You've got to look beyond the natural. Look to the unseen. In the unseen realm, what is the power behind that which is afflicting you? It's the devil. There's only two forces, God and Satan. And that's the devil. You know him by what he's doing for you. The fruits that he's bringing inside of your life. Now listen to what the prophet says about the spirit of nervousness and fear. He says, this is from the message, The Pillar of Fire, 1953. He's got this lady coming up before him and he says, how do you do, lady? Are we strangers? Then she says something. He says, oh, 5 years ago when we were here, I saw you. You went through the line or something. You was healed then. Then the prophet gets under the anointing. He says, between you and I comes a dark shadow. So here's the prophet with this gift of deliverance. Here's the woman who needs deliverance. But between her and her deliverance is this dark shadow. He says, it's shaking and it's jumping. There's only one thing that can mean. That's a demon of nervousness. So those days when you feel all nervous and you don't know what to do, that's your enemy. The enemy is in your home. The enemy is trying to play around with you. That's a demon of nervousness. No matter how much you want to say, my temperament, this, that's okay. The devil is taking advantage of your temperament. The devil is taking advantage of your circumstances. It's a demon of nervousness. God doesn't want us to be nervous like that. And look at what the symptoms were. The prophet says, you think sometimes that you've lost your mind. Something's speaking to us saying, you're losing your mind. There's something, that's the devil. God doesn't say those things to people. You don't make those thoughts up yourself. Where do those kind of thoughts come from? It's a demon of nervousness. And the moment you recognize it's a demon of nervousness and you start making war against that thing, see the peace that'll come inside of your life. You'll prevail over that nervousness. You may have a nervous temperament, yes, but it's not going to hold you back from the promises of God. It's not going to hinder you from rising up in heavenly places. But that's something, that dark, oppressive shadow that comes between you and your deliverance is the devil every time. In that realm where he wages warfare against the sons and daughters of God. And that's where we have to wage spiritual warfare as well. To cast him out of that realm. So that he doesn't have that influence, that power and authority over us. Which he doesn't legally have. He's taken advantage. That's what he's doing. He doesn't have the authority to do that to you. As a son or a daughter of God. You need to resist him. You need to stand against him. You need to stand your ground and refuse him. And say, I'm not allowing this anymore. Amen. And then you get in the word, you get in the messages, you feed your faith, and you wage warfare in prayer. And it doesn't take long. You say, but where did that go? I don't have that nervousness anymore. But don't worry. He's not going to go far. He's going to wait until your faith goes down. He's going to wait until things happen again, circumstances, and he's going to try to take an opportunity again. And you're going to find he's going to come back again. Because Jesus said when demons are cast out, they go into dry places. Then they come back after a while, and if the place is empty, they come back once again. So you've got to expect some of these weaknesses, some of these places that the devil has identified in us as being the places he can prevail over us. We're going to have to keep waging warfare against them. We're going to have to keep those places under the blood. You're going to have to be sensitive and recognize this is the enemy. This is how he deals with me in my life. Some people, it's a spirit of lust. Some people, it's a spirit of gambling. Some people, it's a spirit of spiritualism. They're sensitive to those spiritual forces. There's all manner of afflictions, there's all manner of weaknesses in us because we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And the devil searches with each of us, trying to find that avenue that he can take advantage. And it's good to recognize your enemy. And it's good to know that I have to keep this under the blood, because this is what the devil's going to use. So the prophet continues on. He says, you think sometimes that you've lost your mind. Isn't that right? But he's a liar. You're not. You're just as sane as anybody else. But he's trying to get you down, lady. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to keep you down. But as a believer, you can't always stay down. It's a dangerous place to be. You're going to make the wrong decisions. You're going to cripple yourself up in many ways staying down there. You've got to rise up and say, I'm not staying down there anymore. I'm not listening to these lies anymore. Because the devil is the father of lies. I'm going to go and see what the Word says about these things. And you go and feed your soul on the Word. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And if you humble yourself and draw nigh to the Lord, He will draw nigh to you. And He will start to reveal it to you. He'll give you the spirit of discernment. You'll start looking into the realm of the unseen. And you'll start seeing, this is the devil. This is the devil that afflicted my father and afflicted my grandfather. Then the same devil wants to afflict me. And if I don't overcome this, it's going to want to afflict my children as well. But you stand your ground and say, with me, there's a new generation that begins. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's the power of the token, applying the blood. The devil can't come through the blood. He couldn't come through the blood as the death angel in Egypt. He's never been able to come through the blood. But when our faith weakens, the prophet says the blood starts coming off the door. The devil wants to try to take advantage of that kind of a time. So the prophet says, you're just as sane as anybody else. He's trying to get you down, lady. Don't you pay no attention to that. That's a problem though with us. We start paying attention to that. Like Eve in the Garden of Eden, if she'd have just paid no attention, if she'd have just gone back into the presence of Adam and started to speak to him about what she had been through, there would have been no fall the way that there was. But she stopped and she started paying attention to what the devil was saying to her. And that's when she fell spiritually and she got herself in trouble. Until the grace of God had to come to her. That's why he says, lady, don't pay attention to him. Don't think those thoughts. Don't pay attention to what he's saying. Don't let the birds make the nest in your hair. You can't stop the birds flying over your head. You can't stop thoughts from coming. But don't stop and reason with those thoughts now. Or start to accept those thoughts. Because those are originating from the devil. Then the prophet says, thou devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're exposed. Come out of the woman, leave her. Then he says, come, lady. You're free now. May the Lord bless you, that thing. And then straight away, the next woman comes and he says, lady, how do you do? You were healed at the same time as she was. Because when that demon saw what happened to his friend that was in the other lady, the prophet says that demon left. He knew. He says the demon sympathized with one another. They try to congregate together if they can. But when he saw that his friend had been cast out, he decided it was time to leave the building. That's the believer's authority. Because there were sons and daughters of God there. And the presence of God there was to anoint the sons and daughters of God. And the devil knew he was in a lot of trouble. And that's why he tried to disrupt the meetings. And he tried to do all the things that he could do to try to stop those kind of gatherings. And that story that Sister Faith put on WhatsApp the other week, or Brother Danny Steeman, when he was preaching about that brother casting that demon out just recently, and then that demon wouldn't come out, and that brother came, and that pastor came and showed the picture of the pillar of fire, and says, do you know this man? And that demon says, I know that man. He cast me out of someone in Arkansas in 1950-something. That same demon was cast out by the prophet before. And when he saw the picture of the pillar of fire, that demon knew. These are the same people that believe that same message. And then he was cast out from that person. It was a very good testimony. Now listen what he says here in this message. Expectations. He says to this person, he says, "Yes, ma'am, you have a lot of troubles, don't you? You're a deep thinker. Always take other people's troubles too." You see, this person would think of all these, put all burdens of other people upon herself as well. He said, "Just skip that." He said, "I'm not reading her mind now. I'm telling you what's the truth. And she knows it's the truth. Now, the thing you've got to do now is look to Jesus Christ. And believe Him with all your heart. Do you believe that while you're standing, if I ask God, that nervousness will leave you? You believe it? Then listen what He asks her. Do you believe the story that I told about that angel? That it's the truth? Then you shall have what you say, sister." Now what I liked about this story, friends, is all these critics of the message. But the devil knows the truth. And the prophet said to this lady, he says, "Do you believe the story that I told you about the angel coming to me?" And she said, "Yes." Then he prays, Brother Bram. "Heavenly Father, a poor little nervous mother standing here, trembling, and Satan binding her, Lord, trying to shorten her days and send her to a premature grave. Lord, you hear in mercy and full compassion. Hear thy servant's faith, Lord. If it could be drove away from her here on the platform tonight, she'll go home believing and glorifying God. Help me, dear Father, to have faith to make this power to leave her. You said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. And she will believe it the rest of her life. Lord, have mercy as you challenge this demon." Now listen what the prophet says. "Thou demon of oppression," he says it loud, "that's binding our sister. In the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, leave the woman, come out of her." Hallelujah. Now listen what he says. There it is. All right, friends, raise your heads. He says, "Now, I'm not yelling at you, but sometimes you can't baby devils, you know. You can't baby devils. You got to get down to business and say, enough is enough. You've got to stand in your authority. You've got to resist. You've got to push. You've got to fight. Until that thing goes." He says, "You can't baby devils." And say, "So I'll wait until the next time someone prays for me." Why wait for the next time someone prays? You have the authority as a son or daughter of God. You have more authority than all the demons in hell. Because you are a son or a daughter of God. You have authority. You have jurisdiction. You have the legal right as a believer to cast out that darkness. Because you are a child of the light. If you don't have the faith, pray and get in the word. And let the word feed your faith. And then when your faith rises to a certain place, you're going to be like Shamgar. You're going to say, enough is enough. I'm tired of this. This is stealing my joy. This is stealing my victory. This is robbing me time and time again. Now enough is enough. I stand my ground. If I perish, I perish. And that's the way that a believer wants to stand. Why do you want to be subject to the devil? Why allow the devil to play around with you time and time again? Friends, we all do it, but we shouldn't do it. We shouldn't allow him to do the things that he does. He doesn't have the authority. We have the authority. We have the authority to say no, and he has to go if you just stand your ground. He may bluff, he may try to act like he's not going to go, but he has to go because you have the authority. You have the promise. The word has been given to us. The word of authority. It's our possession. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? I just want to show you one scripture in the Bible. I liked it. Let's put it down on the computer. Luke chapter 10. You know the scripture well, but look how Jesus said it to his disciples. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Luke 10, verse 17. He says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." This was before Pentecost. They weren't even the bride, these people. They left Jesus, most of these people. But they said, the devils are subject unto us That word subject means to be obedient or to be subdued. He says the demons have to obey us in your name. He says the demons are subdued. They're brought down under us through your name. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power.
Hallelujah.
That word means jurisdiction or authority. He says, I'm giving you authority. So the authority we've got is not our own authority. He's given us the authority. In our call, in our commission, in our relationship as sons and daughters of God, we've inherited authority from Him. This authority comes from the throne. So we have the authority. When we sing the song, we have the power, it's saying, we have the authority. The devil doesn't have the authority. Unless he deceives you and you give him the authority. But we have the authority because Jesus gave us the authority. He says, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, all the dunamis, all the dynamite of the enemy, all the power that the devil has. You have authority over that power. The world doesn't have authority over that power. That's why they've been overcome. That's why there's wars and famines and sicknesses and plagues and people are helpless against the devil there. But God, in His rich in mercy, raised us up above those things, clothed us in the robes of salvation, and clothed us in the robes of authority. He's given us the authority that we don't have to accept what the world accepts. We don't have to accept it. No matter if there's a plague that's going to strike Dublin, we don't have to accept that plague. We don't have to. Where do we get it from? The first Exodus. The plagues never got to Goshen. The plagues had no authority in Goshen, where the bride was in that day. The plagues only had authority in Egypt. The devil didn't have authority there. As long as the blood was on the door, the death angel had no authority in Goshen. But he had plenty of authority in Egypt. That's the believer's authority. It's simple. But you've got to fight. You've got to gird up your loins, put on the armor. You've got to resist the devil. You've got to say, I'm tired of the oppression. I'm tired of the nervousness. I'm tired of this that is holding me back continually from heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's the devil. It's your enemy. It's your mortal foe. And we have to wrestle against him. Because you wrestle against powers and principalities, the rulers of this present darkness. That's what we're called unto. And friends, we're going to do it right until the day that this body is changed. Because this is the days of our warfare now. The days of peace are in the millennium. The days of resting and sitting under your fig tree, that's still to come. From now until the end, we're going to continue fighting for what is ours. He's going to resist and we're going to resist. He's going to try to take advantage. We're going to have to rise up and say, enough is enough. And we keep going on like that. Like a mighty army, like the song says. Jesus says in verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That was the real rejoicing. But they were rejoicing because the spirits are subject unto us. And the spirits had to listen to them because Jesus gave them authority. But the sons of Sceva came and tried to do it. Jesus never gave them authority. They were trying to impersonate somebody else. And the Bible says the sons of Sceva, it says they were the sons of the high priest in that day. They thought, well, our daddy is the high priest. We can come and cast out these demons in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And they came to that demon. They said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, come out. And those demons said, we know who Jesus is. We know who Paul is. But who are you? And that demon-possessed man leapt on 7 of them. Tore their clothes off. The Bible says they went away naked, bruised and beaten. Because they weren't given the authority. But you are given the authority. And you've tested it many times and you know that it's the truth. Every believer here knows that you have the authority. You have it. You have it now as you're sitting there. But sometimes we need to rise up. We need to get more anointing on the revelation of our authority. So that we can exert that authority in a greater measure. to cast out the devil in these things that he tries to do. He'll try to steal your revival. He'll try to steal your health. He'll try to steal peace in your home. He'll try to steal all manner of things, your joy. He'll try to bring nervousness. He'll try to bring oppression, depression. It's the devil. Those things don't come from heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Those come from this contaminated realm between us and the throne, where there's devils that accuse us before God night and day. Like the prophet says, and we have to take out the sword and wage warfare and make a way through there so that we can come into that place before the mercy seat, before the throne room of God. That's why the prophet says it there. He says, you're exposed. Now, this is what he says in Questions and Answers on Hebrews, 1957. I'll continue on. I only read a bit of that quote. It says, who has the greatest authority? An angel from heaven or an angel at the pulpit? Then he goes on to the scripture. All powers in heaven and earth is given unto me. So when Jesus resurrected in the power of the resurrection and he stood there just before he went to the right hand of the majesty on high, he said, all authority is given to me. That means Satan has not one speck of authority over a believer. Because all the authority Christ has purchased and paid the price and earned the right to that authority. As our kinsman redeemer. All authority Jesus has. The devil has no authority over a believer. Not one speck of authority. The prophet says, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. That's what Jesus said. What you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Then he says, oh, if the great holy church only realized its power to do these things. But there's so much doubt and fear and trembling. There has to be. The devil doesn't want you to realize these things. So there's going to be a warfare. He's going to try to tell you about all the mistakes that you made. He's going to tell you all these things and why you can't do it. What disqualifies you from these things. There's nothing disqualifies you from these things. As long as your sins are under the blood. As long as your sins are under the blood and your confession is in Christ Jesus, there's nothing to stop you from binding the devil. Nothing at all. There may come times like the prophet in the vision. Remember when that mamba was trying to strike his friend? And the prophet says, what should I do? And the voice said, you have need of more sincerity. And then when the prophet says, forgive me for my insincerity, and a great power came over him. That was the authority once again. Then he bound that mamba and it became like crystal, like glass. And the life went out of it like a smoke. And the Lord was teaching the prophet. But did you notice in that vision, that demon, that mamba that was trying to strike the people, which was death. The voice said, there's death in the land in this day. It tried to come to the prophet, couldn't get near him. It tried to come, the prophet says, it got nearer and it got slower, 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 then it stopped. He says, and that mamba went the other side now and tried to come to the prophet and stopped. Why? Friends, the man had an atmosphere around him that devils couldn't come into. Amen. When he was in his position. And that's the same it is with you and I. When we feed on the word, when we prayed up, when we're walking in our calling, you don't give much room to the devil. Amen. But it's when we come down, when we get tired, the prophet says, when we get discouraged, the devil wants to come and take an advantage. That's when he wants to come in. But there's an atmosphere around the believers. The prophet says there's so much doubt and fear of and trembling, wondering if it will or could it happen. He says as long as that exists, the church can never stand upright. So you've got to wage warfare against that first. There's an oppression that comes over the church. There's something that wants to keep the church down as well, just as much as wants to keep the individual down. And you need to wage warfare against that. He says, and when we talk, when every talk of fear is vanished, and the Holy Spirit is completely in control of the church, all fears are gone, then the church has the power. Then you know your authority. You always had the authority, but now you've risen up into heavenly places. Now there's a realization, there's a revelation, now there's a reality of that authority. Now you can start exercising that authority. He says, why? They have everything that heaven owns behind them. Because they are ambassadors of the throne. Satan was never an ambassador of the throne. We are ambassadors of the throne. We've been commissioned from the very throne of God. He called us, He washed us in His blood, He sanctified us, He anointed us, and He sends us forth as His ambassadors into this warfare that we stand for Him in this age. When this whole world has been overtaken by gross darkness, we can arise and shine because our light has come. We come here, we don't have to accept that oppression, don't have to accept that darkness in this place. Don't accept it in our homes. Don't bring the cursed thing into our homes, which the devil comes with. But we stand in our position as sons and daughters of God. That's what the prophet says. Ambassadors of Christ have the authority, and everything that Christ owns belongs to those ambassadors. And that's who we are, through our kinsman Redeemer. Now, let's finish off at the final stage. What do we practically do? What should we like practically? If you want to really look inside of your life, what kind of a life, or what is the secret to this authority, to living a life of this authority? Let's go to Psalm 91. Just to me, Psalm 91 is like Ephesians 6. It's the spiritual warfare of the Old Testament. Psalm 91. We'll read just quickly through the first verses, but then we'll get to the place we want to get to. Now, the background of Psalm 91, it doesn't say who it was written by. The Jews believe it was written by Moses. And if you go and really read it, that's probably the truth. Because many of the things written here speak about things like what happened at the Passover, when the plagues would come in Egypt, when the death angel came and spared these people and 10,000 died over there. Speaks of things that happened in the wilderness, where deception rose up in the wilderness, and you know, where there was all manner of spiritual warfare that the devil made against the people in the wilderness. And then there was Joshua and Caleb who made it through to the end. Because they were living in a different kind of place than the rest of the people. So it fits in very well with that kind of a thought. But look in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where our authority comes in. When we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. When we're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. Friends, when you're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, how are you going to fear the devil? How are you going to fear the devil? When God's shadow is, He's right there. And He's saying, this is for those that dwell in this place. For those people that have made this place their home. This is their habitation. This is the place where they want to reside. And all believers want to live there. The devil gets you out of there many times, but this is the place where your soul wants to be all the time, is in this place. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Verse 3. Now watch where the warfare comes in. Surely, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. That's the devil. The devil sets up the traps to try to snare us unawares. Many times he's tried to do it in your life. And what has happened? Every time, He has delivered you from the snare of the fowler. Every time. He's tried to snare you with false doctrine. But the Lord delivered you. Tried to snare you with sickness. Snare you with false accusations. Snare you with temptations like Joseph. Lust and all those kind of things. But look where you are today. How long have you been a believer? Has it been your own power, your own might, your own wisdom, your own strength that's brought you safe thus far? It's not. It's His grace. It's His work of redemption. It's His watching over you. It's His equipping you and quickening you and revealing things to you at the right time. And granting you grace to prevail at those critical junctions in your experience. That's been the believer's experience. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. These are the plagues now. These same plagues that are overtaking the world. And friends, the prophet says the last plague is spiritual death. I was thinking of it when I was reading this. Since I became a believer, how many people I've seen fall in the wilderness? Yes. Multitudes of people. And I thought, but why am I still standing? Amen. Why am I still going forwards? Amen. It's not that I'm a better person, better quality of people. You learn the secret. There's the secret place of the Most High. You just dwell in the secret place of the Most High. When the enemy comes, make the Lord your refuge. Make the Lord your, the name of the Lord your high and your mighty tower. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own wisdom. Don't think that you're anything. He's everything. You just seek refuge in Him and see how He empowers you, how He reveals and quickens it to you. And the things that so many other people are perishing in, you wonder, but why didn't I perish in those things as well? It's like that. That's what he's saying, like a noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Doesn't matter about the fiery darts of the devil. They don't scare you when the Lord is real. When you're dwelling in the place of the Shekinah, when you're under the wings of the cherubim, and there's a Shekinah presence of God in your soul, in your experience, and you're feeding on the hidden manna. You don't fear those things. It's only when the devil manages to get you out of that place of reality that you start worrying and fearing and thinking this, that, and the other. And you wake up at night and you can't sleep. Get back into the secret place of the Most High. That's the place. That's the place of authority. That's the place of victory. That's the place of rest. That's the place of realization, is in the secret place of the Most High. He says, verse 6, you wouldn't be afraid nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. So you'll just look all around and say, but these people are perishing there. Those people perished there. These people backstabbed. Those people got deceived out of the message. This, and you keep going. It's like Joshua and Caleb. They were looking all the time saying, hey, Dathan, Abiram, and Korah got swallowed up. Hey, 10,000 got there. Oh, the Amalekites got these ones here. These ones perished under the plague because they groaned against God. And you'll just be walking and just watching all these things taking place. Friends, that's where you want to stay as a believer.
Amen.
That's the place of perfect success. You'll make your mistakes in the flesh. That's why the blood was shed.
Amen.
You'll fall short in yourself, but in your soul, you know the place of refuge. You know the place that you want to dwell. You know the place of authority. He says in verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Friends, that's the believer's testimony. That's why it didn't hit me. We were in Zimbabwe, our church went into error.
Amen.
And then we find ourselves today, many people went back to the world. People died after that. And you find yourself still worshiping the Lord in the simplicity of the message of the hour. And you see, you saw thousands fall, dozens fall. You see churches going out of the message. They're doubting this, that, and the other. And ministers doing this, that, and the other. Friends, it's the grace of God.
Amen.
It's nothing but the grace of God. Just stay in that place. Make the Most High your refuge. Stay in that secret place that He's admitted your soul into by His grace. Just keep your soul there. That's how you make it through to the other side. He says, verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold the reward of the wicked. Then you see, but oh, that person there, then you find that they were caught in their sin. Ah, that person there, they were worshipping Brother Branham and we didn't know it. And that person there, ah, friends, it's the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Believers, sons and daughters of God, that's the place they desire to stay.
You,
you don't want to go anywhere else.
Amen.
He says, verse 9, now he puts a because. This is the reason why. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge,
Amen.
Even the Most High,
Amen.
Thy habitation.
Amen.
That's where you live. You live in the word. You live in the message. You live with the believers. You live in his house. You don't just do it once a week, once in a while. Then you back out there into Egypt again. And then when trouble comes, you're trying to find where the mercy seat is. The soul of a believer wants to make that place his habitation. You want to dwell in that place. Abide in the secret place of the Most High. Then he says in verse 10, because of that, there shall no evil befall you. No evil will befall you. That's what the Bible says. The devil has no authority over you. And if you're dwelling in that place, you know that he has no authority over you. And you know that you've got authority over him. And when we've lost the revelation of that authority, we need to get ourselves back to that place. Back to that place under the wings of the cherubim at the mercy seat. When the prophet preaches in the veil and all those kind of messages. We've got to get ourselves back to that place. That's the place of authority. That's the place of reality. It's not in jumping and shouting and kicking and screaming. It's getting your soul back into the right condition once again. Into that secret place of the Most High. He says, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. The spiritual death won't strike your home. The spiritual death won't strike you. Why? The blood is on display. You are applying the blood. You are applying the token. The life of the Lamb and the message of the hour. That's what's governing your home, governing your life. You're feeding on the hidden manna. The cherubim, the great eagle cherubim, is leading you in the state to the mercy seat. Neither shall any plague come. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over you. So why do you fear fallen angels when the Most High has given his angels? The elect angels are given a commission to watch over the elect sons and daughters of God. It's the elect angels that are watching over us. He's given his angels charge over us. He's given them a commission. Your commission, make sure he makes it to the end. Your commission, make sure she makes it to the end. And Daniel gets there and the devil thinks, I've snared him, I've caught him. Ha ha, I passed my laws. He's going in the lion's den. He shall give his angels charge over you. His angels that have charge over you. Throw them into the fiery furnace. I've got them now. He gives his angels charge over you. Others perish, but you don't perish. What's the difference? You know, a better specimen of humanity in your flesh. It's a call. You are a son and a daughter of God. It's the place that God has admitted your soul to, the secret place of the Most High. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. So when you almost had a car accident, when the child almost died, when all these misfortunes almost happened, when you get up there, friends, one day and the veil is taken away, you're going to see just how much these ministering spirits were watching over us. These angels that were commissioned from the throne of God. They were watching over us. They were keeping us in all of our ways. Verse 12. They, the angels, shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. You're just about to stumble in the walk. They bear you up once again. And you wonder, but how did I get through that problem? I thought that problem was too big for me. Friends, you found the secret. The secret place of the Most High. And to those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, he commissions his angels to keep them in the way. And if something comes in the way to stumble them, the angels will bear you up. The angels will minister to you like they ministered to Jesus in Gethsemane when he needed ministration like that. Verse 13. Look what he says, like in the New Testament. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Doesn't matter if he comes like a lion, openly the devil challenging you. Or if he comes in his subtlety like a serpent. Doesn't matter which way the devil comes. You will tread on him. To those whose souls have found the way to the secret place of the Most High. The place of authority. The place of communion. The place of relationship. That's going to be your testimony. And you and I can sit down and write a book of Acts in your own experience, friends. Yes. You can write and say all the times that you can see where the angels delivered you, where the Lord delivered you, where you tread on the head of the serpents and you tread on the head of the lion. Doesn't matter if he comes openly and roars at you like Goliath. Doesn't matter. David knew he was. Why? He'd been in the secret place of the Most High. Worshipping, getting anointed before the Lord. Then he came and there was this big bluff. And David didn't worry about it. All the rest of them were scared because their souls weren't dwelling in the place where David's soul was. But David knew who he was. And he knew who that was. And he knew who was behind Goliath was the devil. And he stood his ground and the devil came tumbling down. Goliath. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. I don't understand Don't let the devil do it to you anymore. Amen. You don't have to let the devil do it to you. With all the promises of God, you will trample underfoot the dragon. That dragon that overcomes the whole world, all the world worships the devil. But you're never going to worship him. You'll never worship him. You've got him under your feet through revelation. By grace, because of divine visitation. Because of God's predestination and election. Because of his calling upon your life. God has equipped you with an armor that you've got that dragon under your feet. You don't fear that dragon. It is overcoming the Pentecostals, overcoming the Charismatics, overcoming the whole world, overcoming the Jews. The Pope's visiting there next week. But to you and I, the dragon has no jurisdiction over us. Because we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. God has opened a way through the message of the hour into the Shekinah under the wings of the cherubim. Just stay there, my friend. Just stay there. If you haven't been there for a while, that's the secret of your deliverance. That's the secret of your victory. Get your soul back into that place once again. Amen. Now, to tell you the truth, you're going to have to take out the sword and fight through the armies of the Philistines, through those garrisons of the Philistines to get back to the waters of Bethlehem once again. If you've allowed the Philistines to come between you and the waters of Bethlehem, like that time with David and his mighty men, you're going to have some... You're going to be a mighty man in your prayer, a mighty man in faith. Take out your sword. Chop your way through. Get yourself a fresh drink once again from the waters of Bethlehem. There's no easy way. The prophet says the Philistines were garrisoned around Bethlehem. Garrisoned around the house of God's bread. That's, he always does that. He wants to try to do that. But friends, you and I have the authority that if we just resist, if we just have perseverance, if we just determine in ourselves, this week there's going to be a change. Yes. I'm not going to allow this anymore in my home. Yes. Rise up. Yes. Go forth. Yes, you'll have a headache on Monday. You'll have misfortune at work on Tuesday. That means nothing. Just keep going forward. And you'll start seeing a change. Yes. You'll start seeing the atmosphere will change. The conditions will change. You'll start seeing your mind will clear. Your spiritual mind will focus once again. You start seeing the word will start becoming the bread of life unto you once again. You start seeing the devil as the devil. And you'll start seeing God as God once again. But there's Philistines that garrison around the promises of God, around our inheritance. But he's given us the promise, you will tramp underfoot the dragon. Verse 14. Now the Lord says, let me speak a little bit about this. And the Lord has a because. He says, because he hath set his love upon me. If you're looking for deliverance, don't go looking for an exorcist. Don't go to TB Joshua. We don't need them. What do you have to do? Set your love upon him. The Lord says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. That's the key. Set your love upon him. Love his word. Love his people. Love his house. Love his presence. Love the message of the hour. Set your love upon him. That's all you got to do. The Lord says, because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. He says, I'm not sending the angels anymore. That those were the angels of God. Now it's the God of the angels. He says, for this situation, I'm going myself. That's what the prophet says about them in the fiery furnace. He says, that day the Lord sat on the throne, and when the account came up that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to throw it in the fiery furnace, he says, God of the throne himself. He said, I'm going down myself. And there was one in the midst of the furnace, like unto the Son of God. He came himself. He says, because they have set their love upon me, I will deliver them. And he'll do it every time. You just need to fall back in love with him, friends. Just get yourself back in love with him once. Melchizedek in the fire. Exactly what it is. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. I will raise him out of this gloom. I'll raise him out of this valley. I'll raise him above his fears. I'll raise him above his enemies. Back into heavenly places once again. Because he hath known my name. You know his attributes. You know the essence of who he is. He's your father. He's your redeemer. He says, because he has known my name, I will set him on high. He sets you on high. Verse 15. Now you're going to have to do something as well. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. You've got to pray. You've got your part to play. It's a warfare. There's two sides which are trying to contend for you. The Lord has set his heart upon you, but you need to call upon him. And the Bible says, call upon him when he's near. Seek him while he may be found. The day of your visitation, when God draws near to your soul once again, seek him with all your heart. Call upon him. There's got to be some desperation. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Is that not the testimony of a believer? The sweetest fellowship, the greatest testimony is come in your time of trouble. Because the Lord said, I'll be with you in trouble. That's when he shows himself. That's when, like the song says, that's when he proved his love to me. Was when the anchor was holding, though the ship was battered, though the sails were torn. He says, that's when God proved his love for me. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. What a promise to a son and daughter of God. God has promised to deliver you. I've been a believer 29 years. I don't know how many times God has delivered me. There's times I thought I was gone. Times I thought the devil really had me. Times I thought I couldn't go any further. And then you find yourself continuing on. And you say, but how did that work? He says, I will deliver him. And I will honor him. Verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And what is the key to it all? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He that abides under the shadow of the Almighty. He that makes the Most High his refuge and his strength. That's all that it is. So when the devil's roaring, is doing all these things that he can do, just go and love him again. Just go and worship him. Just go and get in his word. Just go and pray. Take out your sword. He's going to clothe you once again with the divine authority. Wage warfare. And he's promised you, you will tread on the head of serpents and adders. What does the Bible say in closing? It says, there's no weapon yet formed by man that shall prosper against you.
Thank you, Lord.
There's no weapon. What is David saying here? He's saying, all these arrows are shooting. 10,000 dying here, 1,000 dying there. Let me tell you, friends, the devil will run out of arrows shooting against the believers.
Amen.
He'll run out of arrows. He gets frustrated because no weapon formed is going to prosper against you, the Bible says. There's going to be times he thinks he's got you, and then God just sends his ministering spirits and they quicken you out of that situation once again. And your feet are back in the way. And when you're about to stumble, the angels come and keep you from dashing your foot against a stone. That's a testimony of a believer, friends. We need to worship him for that. We need to appreciate for what he's done for us and what he's made us. We need to appreciate him, friends. And friends, if you're not in the condition to appreciate him because of the pressure of the devil, we need to rise up into heavenly places. We need to fight against those powers, those oppressive spirits, the spirits of nervousness, those demon powers of oppression, those demon powers of deception, those demon powers of affliction. We need to wage warfare against them until we break through once again into that place that our souls are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And then you can make your boast in the Lord. And you can say, I will say of the Lord, he is my God. He is my high tower. We just need to let off the pressure like the prophet says. Friends, let's come to a time of prayer. Whatever you need before the Lord, let's stand. Let's once again put ourselves before the Lord. We'll sing one song. Brother George can choose one song for us. Let's sing one song. And let's just pray and say, Lord, we've got the power. You've given us the authority. Lord, I'm going to exercise it today against this, whatever that it is, in my home, in my health, in my family, and I'm going to stand my ground. And I guarantee you, if you do it with the right motive and the right objective, something will take place.
Amen.
God will prove and confirm his word to you every time because you're standing on the promises. You're standing on the solid rock. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail. They cannot prevail against a church that's built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Before my heart, before even time began, my life was in His hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. That falls and hears me when I call.
I am a father.
I have a father. He calls me his own. Oh, he'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my every thought.
He sees
each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
I am an anchor.
I have an anchor. By faith He'll see me through.
He knows
my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
He knows
my every thought.
He sees
each tear that falls and hears me when I go.
Bow our heads, saints. I'll just read one part of a quote where the prophet speaks about the wrong way of going about it. The prophet says, the other night, I was at a place where they said they had a healing meeting. And some man was standing there stomping and kicking the platform hard and saying, devil, come out of a devil. The prophet says, the devil doesn't matter how much you do that. Yes. That isn't going to bother him. You can't scare him. There's only one thing that'll move him. That's true divine faith in Christ. That'll take him right now. He's afraid of that. When you've really got the blood of Christ behind you, backing your faith up, moving up like that, He will move away. He recognizes that. He says, now everyone be reverent. Let's just come with simple faith, whichever way you want to pray. And let's pray, friend, for yourself. Let's pray for the needs of our church. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, whatever the Lord leads you to pray for, let's just come through the power of the blood. Let's come in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Let's come through the divine authority that is given to His sons and daughters. And let's stand against these powers and these principalities, that the Lord may lead us to higher places in Christ Jesus. Let's all pray. Father, waiting upon Thee, Lord, upon this day, because You are good. And Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are good, that You are merciful, Lord, and that You are kind. Father, we come in the name of Lord Jesus Christ.
Father, Lord, what other way can we, Lord, save Your
authority, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, You've invested in us as Your sons and Your daughters. And Father, we just want to rise up, Lord. We just want to go higher into heavenly places in Christ. Let's sing that song, saints. I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. I'm going down to the Jordan. It's a wonderful thing to go down to the Jordan.
There's a deep inward hunger within my soul. God has promised in His word He'll make us whole. Well, it's time for it to happen. And your huge portion of heaven, it will make and bring to pass that tremendous victory in the love divine. For I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan.
Heading, Lord,
Lord, before me I see that vision breaking. I see it breaking, a power that will bind the number up, the boom ministry. Oh, a power that will bind number up, the boom ministry. Now is my time for consecration. I must see a change in me. I will enter my secret closet and close the door behind me. I will keep the feast of unleavened bread with truth and sincerity. For I'm expecting Jehovah Jireh, my Lord, to meet with me. For I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, before me I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking, a power that will bind the number up, the boom ministry. Oh, a power that will bind the number up, the boom ministry. Lord, keep thy holy fire burning in my soul.
Change me from glory unto glory till thy image you behold. Let's keep this holy convocation till we become a new creation. For it's the message in you and me bring to pass that tremendous victory. Oh, I'm tired of trampling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down to the Jordan. Lord, before me I see a vision breaking. I see it breaking, power that revives. Number up, oh, a power that will bind. Number up, good for ministry. Oh, oh, I'm tired, I'm trembling on this mountain. Oh, I'm heading down breaking, I see it breaking.
The power that will bind the number up, the full ministry.
Oh,
the power that will bind the number up, the full ministry. Narrow path, the hardest way. Yeah. There's a great portion of heaven.
There's a great portion of heaven.
It's waiting for you.
Waiting for you.
Because of what you designed. That was the prophecy.
Was a prophecy.
The angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce.
That is what will produce
great victory in His love divine.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. Steps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, this path has many, many trials.
This path has many trials and many battles. Against the enemy, but His Holy Spirit,
but His Holy Spirit
will lead us to perfect love.
Oh, there is much not time remaining.
There is not much time remaining.
Oh.
In this path, we can already hear the chariot of our beloved one coming to meet.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. Footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. In the steps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time.
That divine love will live in me. Oh, my desire, that divine love will live in me. That divine love will live in me. That desire, that divine love will live in me.
That divine love will live in me.
So there's one announcement for tomorrow. It's youth meeting 1 p.m. tomorrow, so please let's be in prayer for that. Just ask Brother Francois if you wouldn't mind coming to dismiss us in prayer this evening. May the Lord grant you traveling mercies. Let's go forth, saints. Let's expect the devil to raise his head. Let's expect him to say boo. Let's expect things to go wrong. That's what the devil has to do. But just be determined in yourself that you're not going to submit to him. You're not going to give in to him. Resist him, and he will flee from you. Just ask Brother Francois to go.
Most precious Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Tonight our hearts are full of joy, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because you have lifted up our hearts and showing us our position and the purpose you have shared your blood for us.
Amen,
that
Lord.
We shall have power and authority, Father.
Amen, Lord.
Not because of our own power, the power of our uncle, our father, but the heavenly power.
Amen.
When we come down, Father, and lay life down, it's because of us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And the scripture says, yourself, you says, this sign shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
In my name.
Yes, Lord.
Father, there's nothing but absolutely the truth.
Oh, Lord.
And we rest upon those words.
Amen.
Because they are your words. And you
Amen,
are
Lord.
Bind by your word, Father.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
And the enemy has no jurisdiction inside of our life,
yes,
Father.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
And we cast him out from this place.
Amen.
And from our life.
Yes,
in the name
Lord.
Of the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ, Father.
Hallelujah.
As the song say, we have so long trembled in this mountain.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we want to move from this place.
Amen.
And go to the place of adoption, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because we are children of adoption, Father.
Amen.
And we thank you for the words of exhortation this
yes,
night,
Lord.
Father. The word that come to strengthen us, Father.
Amen.
The word that come to give us, Father, a shake again, Father.
Amen.
That the enemy has no power, Father.
Amen.
And the prophet tell us the fear is of the enemy.
Amen.
It's a cursed thing, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we don't want to accept the fear inside of our life, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We cast away the fear from us, Father.
Amen.
Because the prophet says he's more closer in now than he was in the boat with the disciple, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because he's living inside of our heart.
Yes,
and
Lord.
And we thank you for the revelation of the word that you have given to us, Father.
Amen, Lord.
Father, we ask you that you shall grant us the life of prayer, Father.
Amen.
That we shall be able to possess all our inheritance, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That you shall give us the love of thy word, Father.
Amen.
The love of thy people, Father.
Amen.
Because we can't love thee without loving thy people, Father.
Amen.
Without loving thy house, Father.
Amen.
Forgive of our shortcoming, Father.
Please, Lord.
Where we have failed thee, Father, forgive us, Father.
Amen.
And accept us tonight, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And accept our prayer, oh Father, as the sacrifice of our lips, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That, Father, when we come next time here, we may have a testimony, Father.
Amen.
If there's yes, anybody Lord. That has any prayer request here
Amen.
Tonight and a
yes,
spoken
Lord.
One, Father,
Hallelujah.
You know even the number of our hair, Father.
Amen.
We commit all our prayer requests unto thee, Father.
Yes, Lord.
The purpose of us coming here, Father,
yes, Lord.
We know that in thy presence there's a solution for our problems,
yes, Lord.
Father. That why we come with all multitude of our problem, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That you shall give solution to them, Father.
Amen.
And you have already provided the solution before even we come this place, Father.
Amen, Lord.
Because you have us in your mind.
Amen.
And you have predestinated us for you to manifest your glory inside of our life, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you for the choice. We thank you for the election, Father.
Amen.
That you have made inside of our life. If it wasn't because of that, nobody could stand here, Father.
Amen.
As Lord. The pastor preached, Father, Amen. There's many, oh Father, as a shipwreck of faith, Father.
Amen.
But you shall keep us up today, Father.
Amen.
Not because of our own power, it's because of your love to our toward
yes, Lord,
us, Father.
Yes, Lord, yes,
Sometimes
Lord.
We don't know even know how to express, Father, the joy that is inside of our heart,
yes,
Father,
Lord, yes, Lord.
Because of the salvation that you have given to us, Father.
Yes,
but
Lord.
You know exactly each of us heart, Father.
Amen.
We appreciate it, Father, everything that you did to us, Father.
Amen.
We appreciate the salvation, Father.
Amen.
We appreciate the power and the authority that you have given to us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And today we see that the enemy is a liar.
Amen.
He's nothing and he has no power.
Amen.
Because you, the one that is nasty, you are more than the one that is
yes,
the world.
Lord.
And we know that the one that is in the world is the enemy.
Amen.
But you have overcome him, Father.
Amen.
And also we have overcome him, Father, not only tonight, but since the beginning of time, Father.
Amen.
We thank you for that, Father.
Amen.
And we ask you, as your children are going to gather tomorrow, our youth, Father,
Amen.
Because they are the future of
please
everything,
Lord,
Father.
Please,
we
please,
ask
Lord.
That your Holy Spirit
please,
shall
Lord.
Fill upon them, Father.
Amen.
That you shall give them an experience, Father.
Amen.
That this message, Father, this Christianity, Father,
Amen.
Shall not be the religion of their Father,
yes.
but they shall be their own religion, Father.
Please, Lord.
They can
please,
appropriate
Lord.
It to this religion, to their to themselves, Father.
Amen.
They can be the witness in their school, Father.
Yes, Lord.
In their college, in their
Amen.
Place of work,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
Where the young people yes, are failing, Lord. Father.
Amen.
But they could see Christ inside of their life,
please,
Father.
Lord.
The purpose of us, Father, is to glorify thy name, Father.
Amen.
It's to give you glory, Father. That you may glorify in our neighborhood, Father. In
yes,
our
Lord.
Workplace, Father. In our college, Father. That the people should see Christ inside of our life,
yes,
Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we ask you, as we can feel thy presence,
oh, Lord.
Your Holy Spirit tonight among
yes,
us, Father, let nobody should come back with their burden, Father.
Amen.
Let all the burden that we come with them, Father, shall be lifted up from us,
yes,
Father.
Lord,
oh,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
You have prophesied many things tonight, Father.
Amen.
And we receive it, Father.
Amen.
And we accept, Father, the deliverance
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus
yes,
Christ,
Lord.
Father.
Hallelujah.
Because there's no power that can stand before thee. Oh,
Amen.
The prophet told us there's
yes,
no
Lord.
Enough demon in heaven
Amen.
That can stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus
yes,
Christ,
Lord.
Father. As we know that your presence is here tonight, we may not see it with our physical eyes, Father.
Yes,
but
Lord.
The scripture tells us there are angels that surround
yes,
around us,
Lord.
Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we
yes,
believe
Lord.
That those angels, they are there to serve us, Father.
Amen.
Because they are serving spirit, Father.
Amen.
That is serving us, Father. And we thank you for the privilege
yes,
that you have given to us tonight
Amen.
To come to thy presence, Father. We ask you that you shall anoint, oh Father, the lips that you have used tonight,
please,
Father.
Lord. Please,
that
Lord.
Next time when he's going to stand Amen. Here, Father, we may receive something again
Amen.
That will help us, Father,
please,
to push forward, Father.
Amen.
And forgetting everything
Amen.
That of the past, Father,
please, Lord.
And looking for the prize of the higher calling in Christ, Father.
Amen.
All our brethren that didn't make it, our sisters, Father, you know the reason.
Yes.
And we ask you, Father, if because of the weakness of the flesh, Father, make them free from the weakness
Praise
of the flesh,
Lord.
Father.
Yes, Lord.
Then when we meet here on Sunday, this place will be full, Father.
Amen.
And we'll rejoice together
yes,
because
Lord.
Of your great work that you've done for us,
Amen,
Father.
Lord.
We thank you as we're going our separate way. We want you to go with us.
Please,
that
Lord.
The angel of the Lord
Amen.
Shall go before us, Father.
Amen.
As you say to Hebrew children, that my angel shall go before thee and
Amen.
To protect thee on the road, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And the angel will go before us tonight and protect us from all the work of the enemy, Father.
Amen. Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you for everything and we commit all these things at thy hand. In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. God bless. Saints, let's sing one song as we dismiss, and may God be with you, saints.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
I want to see only you, Lord.
I want to see you.
See you high and lifted.
See you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power of love. Holy, 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 holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy,
I want to see.
Holy, holy,
holy, holy.
Open the eyes of my heart. Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see only you, Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see only